A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry for fear they may collapse on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough food in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." He ordered the crowd to sit on the ground, and then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowd. They all ate it and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets full. The year I spent as an exchange student in West Africa challenged me in every way possible. Rumor has it, and it's by and large true, that Africans share everything. In the woman's dorm at Forbay College in Sierra Leone, one person's laundry soap was everyone's laundry soap, your pocket knife, everyone's pocket knife. Even my toothbrush was once challenged as community property. No real problem with this, except you see, I am fundamentally a very selfish person. Now, I know lots of people are selfish to some degree, but me, a little more than most. For a variety of reasons that we hardly need to go into here, I live in grave fear that I will not have enough, that something bad is about to happen and I will come up short. What drove me bonkers was that those around me who had far more reason to protect themselves for a rainy day weren't. Instead, those who had less were continually giving to me. I was constantly stunned by what I perceived as excessive displays of generosity in my host country. A man who had not received his paycheck from the government in months would insist on paying for my bus ticket. A woman who had barely enough to feed her family would give me potatoes for my journey. I couldn't figure out what to do with this. And then one day, something quite memorable occurred. So memorable that I still remember the exact date, January 1st, 1990. It will be 25 years next month. My traveling companions, Alex and Diane and I, were stuffed with 6 others on an interminably long taxi ride from Bamako to Mopti to the hot interior of Mali. Since our dawn departure, we'd all been silent, and I hoped it would stay that way. I didn't want to have to talk to anyone. I was hungry and tired, and being friendly takes energy, and I just wanted to get to Mopti as soon as possible. The car, however, pulled over to the side of the road to stop for a street vendor. Alex and I pooled our spare change with Diane's as she handed the coins over in return for peanut brittle. 6 pieces. Enough for 2 apiece, I thought. Diane thought otherwise. She gave Alex and I a piece and took a portion for herself, and then she began to pass the rest around the car to the 6 strangers. I was immensely irritated. Did I already mention I was hungry? I needed that peanut brittle to tide me over. It wouldn't have filled me up, but at least it would help. And now she had shared it with everyone else. Urgh. Now, once upon a time, my high school religion teacher spoke on Matthew's story of the multiplication of the loaves. It was unlikely, she asserted, that Jesus' audience had nothing to eat. In that time, when people were on a journey, they usually carried enough food in their robes to assuage their hunger for a day or so. Instead, she proposed, they were hesitant to take out their rations because they did not want to feel compelled to share it with neighbors who had perhaps been caught off guard by the preaching event. Jesus pities hunger, and the disciples begin to see where this is going. Seriously, Jesus, how could we ever feed this many people? Well, what do we have, he says. Can you hear the disciples groan, their collective urgh, as they watch Jesus give away their meager loaves and a couple of fish? What will they have to tide themselves over? But the people, moved by the depth of his generosity, set free by the gracious risk he was taking, begin to bring out their food as well. And suddenly there was enough, more than enough. Now, what a blow to adolescent ears. Another miracle shot to dust by modern interpretation? I told my high school teacher I thought so. And then my teacher asked me something. Which is the greater miracle? To multiply loaves of bread or to inspire people to share? Suddenly that question was being put to the test inside of a taxi in the middle of Mali. For from the back seat, an orange appeared, carefully divided into sections for each passenger in the car. At the next stop, two well-dressed women in the front seat bought an entire bag of muffins. They broke off pieces for themselves and passed them back to the rest of us. Food started appearing from everywhere, a verifiable feast. Even I discovered some peanuts in my backpack. People began to smile at each other and then laugh, and then others in the car began to talk with one another, greeting in Bambara and Tuareg. And by the time we reached Mafdi, we had eaten our fill. Perhaps we could have collected 7 baskets of leftovers. I would like to say that this was a forever turning point in my life, that I stopped being so neurotic about saving my spare change, that I stopped hiding my toothbrush. But it's only in fairy tales and hagiography that we overcome our faults in one dramatic conversion. But the incident woke up something inside of me which has remained a source of tension in my life, a deep questioning which challenges my middle-class lifestyle. How much do we give? How do we learn to give? Why are we afraid to give? Perhaps it's because we know it's a tremendous risk to give when we have not met our own needs. There's no promise that when we break out the peanut brittle, everyone else will do the same. There's no promise our example will be the one that inspires the world. And should even one of those passengers in that car not have opened their stash, we may not have eaten our fill. So given the fact that no one may change but us, we must ask ourselves the ultimate question. Is it better to take care of ourselves first and give our leftovers to the starving, playing it safe? Or is it better to open ourselves to hunger, holding on to only the yet unrealized dream of a community, of a kingdom? It's a very difficult question, but one particularly worthy of pondering as we enter the season of Advent, this time of renewed longing for God's kingdom. We remember Jesus, who wagered not only his lunch, but his every drop of blood, that God's kingdom would be realized, that the poor could be fed, that community could be had. And we recall that God made good on Jesus' wager. The seeming foolishness of his trust was vindicated. The Christ who died rose from the dead, proving once and for all that risk is only a prelude to more abundant life. But forevermore, it means that our prayers of this season are each turned into a challenge, each of our pleas into an echo, so that when we say, God, please take care of the poor and unemployed, we hear back, Church, please take care of the poor and unemployed. God, heal the divisions brought about by racism and prejudice. Church, heal the divisions brought about by racism and prejudice. God, watch out for the homeless. Church, watch out for the homeless. But God, what do you think we can do about it? We're struggling to keep afloat. We barely meet our bills. We don't have enough space, enough time, enough people, enough energy. But church, all I have is 7 loaves and a few fish. Well, God, work a miracle then. Well, church, open up your robes and let it begin. Open up your robes and let it begin. Within each of us lies the power to multiply loaves and fish and even peanut brittle. Which is the greater miracle? The greater miracle is learning to share.